Hey everyone, welcome back to the Retro Break podcast. This is episode 45, and in today's episode, we're talking all about fighting FOMO and finding your own taste. And although I'm going to be talking about this in terms of games, I actually think this can actually apply to any sort of media out there. It really does just boil down to the fact that if you step away from the norms, if you step away from what's popular, and you spend a little bit of time researching and discovering your own tastes and your own likes and dislikes and things, then you can really start to enjoy that media a lot more and get a lot more out of it as well. So I wanted to spend a bit of time today talking about some of the ways that I came up with my own taste in games and how you can do the same as well, and also why I think it's worth persevering through the struggles of discovering all of these different games and trying to wrap your heads around so many different games out there. Like, there's got to be well over 100,000 games available already at this point, with new ones coming out every single week. And of course, it's so easy to get swept up in the hype of new releases, and I see a lot of people really struggling with backlogs, and their backlogs are just full of new games that they just haven't had the time to play. So by using this as a way of kind of refining your taste and refining your palate and in what kind of games you enjoy, you can very easily cut down on that sort of anxiety and anxious feeling of having too much that you want to play. So what I'm going to do, and it's kind of difficult to structure this, but I'm going to kind of split it down into how you can find some recommendations, how you can find some games that perhaps you didn't even know existed, but it turns out that you actually really like that style of game, and then how you can go down the rabbit hole of discovering more about them, and a few of the ways that you can go about finding different styles of games too. So let's start with finding recommendations and doing research. So obviously, I'm sure a lot of you listening have already played loads of games, and this may kind of be more for people who aren't that far in their gaming journey, but I was just kind of thinking back to how it was during college for me. So even back then, I'd sort of been only playing the mainstream games, but when I was in college, I discovered a bunch of websites, and I had a bunch of recommendations off friends as well. So some of the websites that I enjoyed, and they are actually still around today, thankfully, so you can go and enjoy them just as much as I did back then. The first one is Hardcore Gaming 101. So this is an amazing website, and it goes through loads of really obscure series and obscure genres as well, and it gives you a breakdown as to why they're interesting, a bit about the history and the development of the games, and what all the different games in the series are like, along with a bunch of screenshots and the system it was originally released on and the release date. And this is just a fantastic resource for finding out new information about some games that may be interesting to you. So definitely check out Hardcore Gaming 101. And these days, they do actually also have a podcast as well called 48K Games, I think it is. And obviously, that was made a long time ago, and I'm sure there's way more than 48,000 games out there today. But the point still stands. And they're doing a really cool thing with that podcast as well. They're actually reviewing a few different games in each episode and getting a few Patreon requests as well. And what they do at the end is they actually put them into a big list, and you can actually find this list over on their website as well. And they're rating every single game that they've played on the podcast. And it's a great range of both popular modern games, as well as some retro games, both popular and obscure as well, and some community picks too. So if you want a great list of games to get you started, then check out the 48K Games podcast and check out their list. It really is a fantastic resource, and I've found some great games through that as well. And I also found out about some games through some of their older podcasts too, so there's plenty there to get your teeth into. Another fantastic resource is the website and forum that accompanies it, and that is called Racket Boy. And the reason I love Racket Boy so much is that they have the best lists available on the internet, I think. For every single system out there, you can see what the most valuable games are for the system. You can see what games defined that system, so what are, like, not just the most popular, but what are the ones that come to mind when you think of the system. And that's really a great starting point. So if there's a system you've been thinking of getting and you don't really know where to begin, check out Racket Boy's lists on the best games available for specific systems. That's actually how I got into Sega Saturn to begin with. And they also do great lists as well, like import lists. They do hidden gems, of course, and like I said, the most valuable. They also do another great one, which is the cheapest games which are worth playing as well. So you don't even need to break the bank if you want to check out some games for the system, but don't really feel like spending that much money on it just yet. So Racket Boy is very, very highly recommended from me. Another website, a great one that's been around for many, many years, probably like 30 years at this point, is Game FAQs. And not only is it just, you know, going on there to look at walkthroughs and guides for different games and FAQs, as the title implies, but they also have great user-generated reviews and sort of lists that you can see in the forums and things. And that is another great resource to find out about games. And if you click on the games as well, you can see related games, or you can check the comments on a game and see what other games people recommend from there. And that is just another way to really build up your knowledge of these games outside of the general, you know, games that are popular at the time. So I know it's kind of difficult, especially avoiding the FOMO part, and I guess we'll get onto that now. So it is so hard when all of your friends are just playing one game, but I really do think it's worthwhile either skipping occasionally some new releases and checking out an old game instead, or just finding a little bit of extra time, like time you would have spent just scrolling Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or whatever. Use that time to have a look on these websites and discover some new games that you might enjoy and then check them out. Another way of discovering games, and I'm not against this at all, but that is piracy and emulation. And it was a great resource for me back in the day, so I had a few retro emulation handhelds. In fact, when I first started looking at retro emulation handhelds, I was actually using the Gizmondo, which I know a lot of people really hate that machine, but it did actually help me a lot in refining my taste for what kind of games I enjoy. So I had the Gizmondo, and I had it filled up with basically entire ROM sets for everything from the Master System to the NES to Atari to the SNES and Mega Drive, and I found out about some really cool games thanks to emulation. And also thanks to emulation, I ended up building up lists that I actually wrote by hand back then, but I built these lists up, and I actually went to my local independent game shop, showed them the list of games that I wanted to find, and they would actually order them from their warehouse into the store for me to buy from them back in college. And I have so many great memories of going in there and buying games off them. Two that spring to mind: Mystic Quest on the SNES. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I played that game on the Gizmondo using an emulator, and it really struck a chord with me, and I really did enjoy it. And I went over to GameStation and asked them to order it for me. Or GameZone it was back then. I asked them to order it, and it came in mint condition, and I've still got it on my shelf. And there was a bunch of other ones that I found out about back then too. Sparkster and Rocket Knight on the Mega Drive as well. They were two that I found out through the emulation route. And also, even things like Mario RPG and Earthbound and games that didn't come out in the UK, I first experienced them and sort of discovered my love for these games that we never even got in the country through things like emulation and through websites. And also through friend recommendations as well. So if any of you are at college or uni now, try and make some friends with people who are also into retro games, and I guarantee they'll have some great recommendations for you. When I got into the PlayStation 1 and 2 back in college, some of my friends gave me some amazing recommendations, and they are still today some of my favourite games of all time. So if you saw my top 15 PS2 games video recently, a lot of the games that I found out about on that video were actually recommendations from friends in college. So that's another great way of doing it. And of course, there's not just websites, there's also books and videos and podcasts and all sorts of other things. I'll probably do a video over on my main channel for some of the best resources for finding out about games, but there's a load of great books like the Geeks Line Anthology, and also things like the NES Punk's NES Compendium and things like that. There's great ways of finding out about entire libraries of games. And then there's things like the Gamebook and the Gamebook Color by Ninty Media. And they're great ways of finding out about other people's experiences with the games as well, because they actually have in-depth articles by fans of specific games. So that's just a great resource. And of course, YouTube is also another great resource. There's plenty of people out there doing hidden gems videos or doing like rundowns on system libraries in particular. Not just myself, obviously. There's loads of other great resources out there. And there's also blogs, and there's Twitter users. There's fanzines as well. There was a fanzine that I found out recently called Scanlines, and I've got a great set of PS1 recommendations from that magazine that I've now added to my eBay wish list. So there's so much out there. And another thing I like to do as well, if you want to kind of get an overview for a system and then kind of pick out which games you think look interesting, there's a great YouTube channel. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but if you type in A to Z of a specific system. They basically have a 1 minute snippet of every single game in the entire system's library. So if you watch that at 2x speed and you just flick through and just find out what games look interesting to you, you can really find some really interesting games that haven't even been mentioned on the internet, as far as I can tell, at least not in any popular way anyway. So that's another great way of doing it. So that's it for part one, basically. Fight FOMO. Don't get sucked into all the modern games that are out there. Take some time to have a look through the history of gaming and discover your own tastes. And I promise you it's worth the effort, and you'll be a lot more excited about retro gaming and gaming in general if you do this, and I promise you it's worth the effort. Now let's move on to part two of the podcast, which is some of the games that I've been playing recently. And I haven't really been playing that much because I've been on holiday, actually. I just came back from Tenerife last week, so kind of a week has been taken away from me in that sense. But I have been playing Twilight Princess on the Wii U, and I brought that up in the last podcast, and I'm right near the end now. Yesterday we played it a little bit more, and I just got to the end of the Sky Dungeon, and I think there's one more after that, which is the Twilight Realm, and I'm just really, really enjoying my replay of that game. It holds up so well today. And I really can't wait to see where Nintendo takes the series. I hope they do more of a mix of traditional Zelda and open world exploration and all of the new gameplay benefits that come with Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild. But I love the structure of Twilight Princess, and I hope they go back to that. Another game that I've been playing, and if you check out my YouTube channel, you can actually see me talking about this one in a bit more detail too, but that is a visual novel called Summer Pockets. And I downloaded that specifically to play on holiday because, of course, it's summer themed, the weather's been really nice on holiday, and actually back here in the UK now too, and I really wanted a new visual novel to play, and that one just seemed to fit the bill absolutely perfectly, and I'm really loving the game so far. I love the characters, I love all the mystery surrounding what's going on the island. I did play it all the way to the end without picking a specific route, and now I've gone back to the start, and now I'm going to start going through all the different characters, and it seems like it's actually getting quite dark, which is what I was kind of looking forward to, because it was a little bit vanilla up until this point, but it really seems to be starting to pick up now. So if you want a visual novel to play over the summer, then I definitely recommend Summer Pockets. Then I definitely recommend Summer Pockets by Key. And that's basically all I've been playing. I did get some new retro handhelds in the post, which I'll be doing a video on next week, and they are the Miyu A30, which is a horizontal handheld that kind of closely resembles the Game Boy Micro, and it feels really nice. And the other one is basically the exact same thing, but from Ambernic instead, and that one's called the RG28XX, and I'll be doing a video on both of these. Potentially in the same video, I haven't quite decided yet. I might do like a comparison between the two. They're roughly the same price, and they're basically the same size and can run the same games, so I guess it makes sense to do them both at once. In terms of projects that I've been working on, there's really only two that I've been trying to do a little bit of the script for, and I haven't touched my book for a while either. There's a video that I'm working on, and I'm not sure when this is going to come out yet, but here's a sneak peek anyway, and this is about Nintendo prototypes and codenames. It's something I've been interested in for a long time, so I thought I would actually do some proper research and actually look at Nintendo's entire timeline of consoles and handhelds and talk about what could have been, talk about some of the very early prototypes and some of the code names that accompanied them, and some of the screenshots that have cropped up in recent years as well. There's some really interesting and fascinating history there that I really want to share in a really nicely documented fashion over on my main channel. And something else really cool, and something that I got on eBay the other day, and it hasn't turned up just yet, but I'm very much looking forward to it, and that is a video all about the GP32. So for those of you that don't know, the GP32 was a Korean gaming handheld that came out in the early 2000s, and it's a really interesting console because it was basically the first one that was completely open source, free to anyone to code on, basically. But not only was it an open source emulation console, but it did actually have its own commercial releases as well, which is very rare, and they're actually very hard to find, so I'm going to try and save up some money and maybe get a few of those to do a video on in the future. I think it will make for a really cool and interesting video that no one's really touched on in that much detail either, so I can't wait to put my take on that out there on the internet. And in terms of content that I've watched recently, there's basically one really great video that I want to touch on, and there was kind of two smaller ones that I discovered more recently. So we'll start with the smaller one, and we'll end the podcast with the one of the best videos that I've seen on YouTube in general, honestly. So the two smaller ones, first of all, there's a really cool update in the N64 emulation scene. And that is basically that they've found a way of doing decompilations for PC ports of N64 games, but basically doing them on the fly, and that opens up things like a solid 60 frames a second, or even higher, but it still actually runs the game logic at the 24 frames a second like the originals did, so you don't get any of the issues usually that you would get with running games at higher frame rates. But it also allows things like ultra-wide resolution and even ray tracing too, and I've seen some of the games running on it, and it just looks absolutely incredible. So I can't wait to try that out for myself. Hopefully I'll find a bit of free time next week and check it out on the PC. If I can figure that out, then maybe do a video over on my main channel once I've tested out a few games. The other video was something that I watched last night, actually, and it was really interesting. So I've been really enjoying replaying Twilight Princess, like I said, but back in the day, in 2005, which was actually a year before the game came out, I actually played a demo of Twilight Princess at a Nintendo event, and I had vague memories of the starting town, Ordon Village, being quite different to what was in the final game, and I actually found out that someone had recorded that entire demo at E3 back in 2005, and it got uploaded to YouTube last year. So I'd never actually seen it before since 2005, so since like nearly 20 years ago at this point, and the differences are quite striking, actually. So the villagers actually walk around in the town rather than just standing in place as they do in the final. There was a bunch of little mini games that aren't in the final game as well, and there's also a canoe that you can use to go down the river, which was also taken out of the final game. In the final game, you obviously send the bird to go and pick the monkey up and bring the bayonet back, but in the original you were going to go down the river in the canoe and get it back yourself. So that was really interesting to see, and that brought back some really nice memories of when I attended that event all those years ago. And finally, we're ending on an incredible video that I highly recommend everyone go and check out after listening to this, and I'll put a link in the description. It was called A Breakthrough Discovery in Pokemon, and that was by a YouTube channel called Blue Boy Phil, or Blue Boy Finn, I think. I wrote this down a few days ago and it's kind of hard to read, but I'll put a link in the description. Basically, he's done a lot of really in-depth research on Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, and actually tracked down the meaning behind the game and all of the Japanese historical accuracy that's in this game as well. And it was so interesting hearing about the history of the Ruins of Alph and what it actually means in terms of real life as well as in the game, and basically how the mystery of the unknown and stuff is meant to be unsolved and unknown, just like it is in real life. So basically the caves in the Ruins of Alph are actually a real life location in Japan. And I just loved the little detail that in the remake, compared to the originals, the scientists there say that they've managed to get the stone tablets and send them off to labs to basically bring them back to how they used to be, and that is exactly what happened in real life too. I won't ruin everything, it's like a half an hour video, and I highly recommend you going and watching it for yourselves. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Retro Break podcast. As always, if you're listening on YouTube, let me know down in the comments below what you think about the idea of finding your own taste in games, and also let me know some of the ways that you managed to do that over the years as well, because I might turn this into a proper video and give you guys and girls some ideas for finding out your taste in games and where you can find out more interesting games for you to check out that might be a little bit outside of the mainstream. Of course, check out my Discord as well and join the discussion over there for the podcast as well as the main videos. That's it for now though. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll speak to you all again very soon. Goodbye.